Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench on a rather scary, spooky Halloween weekend with lots of ghouls. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump right into it. Obviously, alongside me this week, or if either of them would get off their phones.
Ryan.
Mark.
Awesome. All right, let's
just like that.
Checking results.
Yeah. All right, so the first one, Crystal Palace versus Liverpool at Selhurst Park. Yeah, this one was a goal, like just...
Really good game. First half, I think you had the first three goals in the space of, what was it, like 5.5 minutes, something like that?
Yeah.
Some shocking defending in this game, though. Like, I mean, the attacking was really, really good, but the defense was pretty poor. But who was it who scored first for Liverpool?
That would be Emre Can.
Oh, that was a great goal. I mean, it took a deflection off Scott Dan, but when you watch it, like the, you know, it was a classic team goal, and they've really been playing like that all season, really. Yeah, that was a really good, really tidy finish. Moreno back in the squad, starting 11 on the left, doing the business. He's much better going forward than he is defending, so it was kind of a perfect game for him to come back in. Which I was skeptical about, because obviously you've got... you know, Zaha that switches flanks and stuff, and I thought he was going to cause him a bit of a problem. But no, that was a really good goal. And then you had James McArthur with a Dejan Lovren is like got to be the most frustrating player at Liverpool because he does some stuff like so good, like really, really good. His positional sense is actually really, really good. But the McArthur goal, I don't know what he's trying to do. He just hoiks it in the air, and McArthur runs on, gets there before the keeper, and nods it over him. 1-1, and then literally 3 minutes later, from a corner, he goes up the other end and bullet header through the legs of the keeper. Yeah, it was crazy, but look, ended up being McArthur scores again on the 33rd with another header, great cross from Zaha, bullet header, keeper no chance, straight in the top corner, and then right on the stroke of half time. This was really important in this game, so it was 2-2, and right on the stroke of half time, you had a Matip score. I think the keeper should have done better. I know it's a good header, but it's straight down his throat, and he just flaps at it, and it just goes straight through him, basically. So they went in at the break at 3-2. Probably deserved. I mean, to be fair, Crystal Palace literally scored with their two shots that they had. Benteke had a half chance in the second half, but nothing to write home about. And then Firmino's goal was just what Firmino's been doing. Absolutely fantastic pass from the halfway line from Henderson. Nothing crazy, just a real strong, perfect pass along the ground, straight into his stride, and he just dinks it, quick look, and dinks it over the keeper. 4-2, they run out winners. And, Klopp said after the game, like, it wasn't exactly the most convincing performance. You know, it wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but going to Selhurst Park, pick up 3 points, job done, roll on to the next week. And they are the real deal. We say it every week.
Yep.
They are...
Not only that, but I don't think they have any real competition until around Christmas.
No, they're just
looking at the fixture list.
They got a lot of their big games out of the way.
Yeah, they played us on opening day.
Played Arsenal on the opening day, got a result. Fair play to them. These are the games. If you're going to win the league and you're going to be a proper contender,
yeah, it's a game you have to graft out. Those are kind of
you know. Let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago that they went to Selhurst Park 3-0 up with 20 minutes to go. And they're going for goal difference against City. They were up there. They were challenging. This is the game after the Gerrard slip against Chelsea.
Slippy G.
And instead of...
Slippy Steve.
You know, this is the difference here under Brendan Rodgers. Very kind of... There was a lack of discipline in that game a couple of years ago where they went for more goals. 20 minutes ago, 3-0 up. Take your 3-0 away from home. Park the bus, take your result, and take it to the next game. They didn't. They kept pressing forward, and I think it was when Gale was still there. Scored two late goals. Someone else scored, and it ended up being 3-3. It was an absolute It was one of the games of the season, but Liverpool, their own worst enemies back then, and this is the difference. This is what you see now. Much more professional, lot better. The balance of the team is so much greater.
Right.
When you watch their front three, how they, so much energy, so many runs in behind, it must be, it's an absolute midfielder's dream, because you have options. You have options. You know,
and there's you have a lot Coutinho of teams as well.
There's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of teams that play the same kind of way, but without the intensity. United spring to mind. And it's just, it's poor. Like, there's not very much, there's not much mobility in the United team, really. But they, you know, they've got the blueprint. They know what they're doing, and they're just going to continue to run rampant. So,
and Klopp's been there a full year now. You can definitely see the progress they've made in that time, and it's right. kind of scary to mm-hmm. think going forward how much better they're actually going to get.
Right, right, and it's not just that. I mean, yeah, talk about like having world class players in your squad. They have to gel, and at the minute they just look like a team that are in unison.
Like great.
Everybody's working together.
Yeah, everyone's
and they
working.
Look happy. They're enjoying themselves,
enjoying your football. Look, this is massive. Yeah, when you go out and play a game and you're enjoying it, they've been let off the leash. Yeah,
right.
Under Brendan Rodgers, it was very structured and all that kind of thing. Yeah, Klopp's come in and now he's formed his squad. He knows what his best starting 11 is. Pretty rare in this day and age to actually know what your best starting 11 is. And he just lets them play with a sense of freedom. And he won't rein them in. He won't bring them in until if the results start changing and they start slipping a little bit, then he's going to rein them in. But at the moment, he's doing exactly the right thing. He picks the best 11, makes sure they have a smile on their face when they're getting ready for the game.
Yeah. Does it remind you of any team, say, last year, like Leicester City?
Yeah, and they want to play for him. They want to play for the manager, and he's getting the best out of them just by letting them go and do what they do, which is play very attractive football this year, which absolutely pains me to say as a United fan.
I like it.
I'm
sorry,
really good.
I'm a Man United fan, but I'm first and foremost, obviously, but I am a fan of the Premier League. And so, you know, if it's a good game, if the team's good, I'll watch them.
You've got to give them, sometimes you've got to hold your hands up and just
yeah,
pay the team their dues. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But Liverpool
looking good this year.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And even today when they turned up and played in what was classed in the program notes as being their toxic kit. It's like fluorescent yellow from head to toe. Fluorescent yellow top, shorts and socks. I mean, it is
awful.
I mean, it's GBH to the eyes, I'm not going to lie to you. But, yeah, putting in a performance, aren't they? So, fair play to Liverpool.
Yeah. No, on the opposite of that, Crystal Palace.
They'd be all right. They'd
on
be all
Pardew?
Right. Yeah, I've turned around a little bit on my views on Pardew. Look, his team worked really hard today, and it was really nice to see after the game when he spoke about it. He, you know, there was three contentious penalty shouts in the game for Palace. I think the second one on Zaha is should have been given.
Mm.
But you know, it is hard to be a ref and pick that, and you've got to be 100% sure. But look, he didn't have any problems with the referee after the game, and he said, look, the thing that was the most frustrating for his team was when they would go hunting in packs around these Liverpool players and put them in tight areas where usually you would nick the ball away and start a counter-attack. Liverpool were just coming away with the ball every single time. They worked the ball so well in close quarters, they spread the play really well, and they stretched that line between defence and midfield of your opponents. They stretched that line so much. I mean, it's really good to see, and I wish we had a little bit of that at Old Trafford, but yeah, you know, sticking with Liverpool, really good. But it was nice to see Pardew, you know, hold his hands up and be like, look, they're a real good team, really, really good team. So
right.
Sometimes you just got to hold your hands up and be like, best team won on the day. My players played well. We'll take a lot of positives from it, but yeah.
It was what it was.
Yeah.
All right, so then moving on to Old Trafford.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah, I know.
It's
becoming so commonplace now. We dread this is the result we go. Okay.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is that since the Premier League started and they started tracking stats, that's the most shots in a single game by a team in Premier League history. 37 attempts on goal.
Yeah, but do you remember the days when we only needed three attempts and one of them was a goal?
Yeah, I know. I'm just
goal,
saying. You know? But you do have days And we had it when we played...
That's why we were so dangerous back in the day.
Well, that's we had it this year not too long ago, about a month ago when we played Stoke. We came up against a goalkeeper that was just, you know, wasn't going to get beaten. And Tom Heaton yesterday, who I've rated from day one, he's in the England squad, top goalkeeper, really good goalkeeper, pulled off, had 11 saves. 11 saves in one game. And it's not like against Mickey Mouse opposition. It's you know, Man United. One of them, the Zlatan volley at the back post, Heaton just throws himself at it, puts his arms up, like looking like a bit of a starfish. Mm. But nearly breaks his arm. He's on the ground for about 2 minutes afterwards. Mm. I mean, just great, great goalkeeping, great display. The Herrera sending off was at a massive time when we were completely... We dominated the whole game. You look at the stats, we just... 19 corners in one game. United didn't play badly. We just couldn't hit the back of the net. When it came down to that little bit of quality and composure that you need, we didn't have it. But I'm not... Look, I'll take that performance every single week for the rest of the year, and we'll win every game. You just... You come up sometimes against... It's just not your day. Matter at the post. Mm. Zlatan had a header that deflected onto the crossbar. Just so... I think Zlatan had 12 shots in that game. Just, yeah. You know, it is what it is.
Is Mourinho going to have a touchline ban?
No, not for that. Not for that. But going back to the Herrera sending off, really kind of... They were kind of carbon copy challenges. The first one he did go in and then tried to pull out, got a yellow card. And the second one, he's just lost his footing and slid straight through him. And it wasn't even that bad.
Mm.
It doesn't help that the Burnley players stayed on the ground for about 45 seconds, rolling around a little bit. But that's never a booking.
Yeah.
Never a booking.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us. How did your team perform over the weekend? 434-284-9470. Or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. You can email us by hitting the email button at the top of the page or email us directly. If you've got a question for the show, we'll read them out. Blokesonthebench, all one word, at hotmail.com. Now, how did Burnley do then? Apart from the goalkeeper.
Look, they go there with a game plan. They know they're going to be under the cosh a little bit. They had a couple of chances. Nothing... really that stands out. Arfield had a volley that he's blazed over the bar that he could have probably brought down in the penalty area and done a little bit better. But look, you see him after the game celebrating like they, you know, won the cup or something. Mm. Great performance for them. You have to defend. And they did that. They're not going to be happy that they had 37 shots against them, conceded 19 corners. But then it's what you do when you do that in a game. And they did that, and they stood strong, and, you know, at the end of the day, they've got a point from Old Trafford.
Mm.
Is it deserved? I mean, I don't know how you can say it's not. If the goalkeeper puts in a performance like that, then yeah, maybe it is deserved.
What do you make of the whole stuff that's going on off the pitch with Mourinho this week? He's been talking about, he's basically moaning about the fact that he's moved to Manchester, okay? He's got kids, but the kids... Or, to be fair, one of them is a goalkeeper, I believe, in the Premier League for... I can't remember what team he plays for. And his daughter is at university. His wife still lives in the home they own.
Yeah, they still live in Chelsea.
Yeah. He's living in a hotel.
Yeah.
So he brings all his work home with him. He's probably got the press running around downstairs trying to figure out, you know, where's Mourinho staying? Fans taking photographs. I mean, apart from the fact that I think
he should stay in Giggsy's hotel.
What I think he should have done is, you know, hired somebody for a few days and gone, okay, find me somewhere that's this close, whatever. I mean, let's be honest with you, he's known for a long time. This is the job he's wanted. There's been rumors about it since, what, Christmas last year. I mean, surely you should be, you know, when he got the job in the summer, you should have gone, okay, let's go find a home. I mean, is it that hard? With the money he has, he could have just gone... I mean, I don't think
but
it's
the thing. The thing that's strange for me on that one is, he came out and said it's hard with his family not being there, but he doesn't, kind of want to move him from Chelsea and they're happy and settled there and stuff like that. Then
it's just
I don't know. In my opinion, that you knew that when you took the job. That was obviously what your wife had said or your family had said to you when you took the job. Don't moan. I watch my language. Don't moan about it now.
Right. Try to find a United fan that feels sorry for you about this.
Yeah, don't moan about it. If you knew that was going to be be an issue, but you took the job anyway, and we're like, yeah, no, we'll work it out, we'll work through it. Don't bring it up now just because you got... Look, if we were top of the league right now...
None of that would be going
on. You wouldn't hear anything, right. And there wouldn't be a problem with things. There might be, but he wouldn't say it. So it's like...
But this just adds now to the... You know, what's going on there at the minute. We're United are still trying to find themselves. Still. And the manager's now going and, you know, moaning.
Yeah, I know you're saying that, but... And a lot of people... I didn't actually watch the game yesterday, but I heard afterwards they're like, oh, just shocking from United. I watched the game when I got home. No way was that shocking. That was a good performance. We created so many chances. How many times have we sat here and said... Oh, United nicked a 1-0, but we only created like 3 chances, or it's 0-0 and we only created 2 chances at goal, or our first shot on target was in the 75th minute. We said that a bunch over the past 3 years.
Mm.
So the fact that we come out absolute all guns blazing and create that many chances, I ain't got a problem with it. I ain't got a problem with it at all. Sometimes
you were saying
in
98%
football,
of the time if you play like that, you will win.
Yeah, of course you will. Of course you will.
Mm.
But yeah. Pay Burnley their dues. Got the point. Short trip back up the motorway. Job done for them. So, yeah, on to next week.
All right, so the next game, Middlesbrough versus Bournemouth at the Riverside Stadium.
Goal of the weekend.
Goal of the weekend. Goal of the month.
Really?
It's not going to be goal of the season, but it's definitely goal of the month, yeah. Gaston Ramirez. I mean, I think Bournemouth had a corner. Your boy, your mate, Jackie Wilshere, puts it in. Bobbles around a little bit. Breaks on the edge of the box. Guy loses it. Gaston Ramirez picks it up and nutmegs one player. And just, I didn't know he was that quick.
I had no idea either.
And
he's a
just
big lad.
Banned it past like 3 Bournemouth players, just left them for dead, and then does a real cheeky little step inside and just the coolest finish you've ever seen. But it was like straight down the goalkeeper's throat. I don't know. I think the goalkeeper expected it to be a little bit further away from him because he didn't really anticipate the finish, but it's such a great finish. But that was nice. I'm glad Middlesbrough won that game. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of Eddie Howe and the Bournemouth lads.
I was literally just about to say the whole whispers of him becoming England manager. It's got to him already. Obviously, somebody's mentioned it to him. And I remember hearing or listening to the interview with him, and he was a bit coy about his response. He was kind of...
Yeah.
It's on the mind.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably the only manager right now from England, born and bred... It's got that kind of potential.
But
I think
rightly so. Like, I much prefer that. I much prefer that saying, yeah, you know what, there's been a lot of talk, and obviously I think about it. I'd have no respect for the guy if he turned around and said, oh, no, I'm not worried about that, I'm just concentrating on Bournemouth Football Club. Because that's a lie. That's a lie. Any manager who's done what he's done at such a young age with such a, you know...
Limited squad...
And the ambition he had, and being able to execute that and get him to the Premier League, of course he thinks about it. I've got mad respect for him, that the fact that he can come out and see it. You know what? Yeah, of course I'm thinking about it. He's only human. Mm. But then you add a really nice team goal from Middlesbrough to make it 2-0. Cross comes in. It was a Traore's cross outside of the right boot. Negredo heads it back across. Simple tapping for Downing, but... Really good team goal. It's nice to see Middlesbrough playing some decent football.
All right, guys, the time is now 6:20. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Next game. I actually think this is one of the, like, these two big names. Obviously, last year's winners versus...
Third place.
Right.
Oh, you had to get that in there, didn't you, bud?
Yeah. White Hart Lane.
Second, mate, in the last game of the season.
Arsenal finished second.
There you go. He's happy. Look at the little...
We got a Saint...
little smile on his face.
I didn't know if we were going to get a Saint Tottenham's Day last year, and we did.
There you go.
Left it a little late.
All right, guys. Tottenham Hotspurs versus Leicester City at White Hart Lane.
Great game. Such a good game from start to finish. It was set up to be. When you have, like, Danny Rose on one side and Kyle Walker... on the other, two of the best, like, proper fullbacks, wingbacks, if you want to call them that, but they're way much more than that.
Mm.
Getting forward, they create so many chances, they're so quick. But yeah, you have, for me, it's a really soft penalty on Janssen, Robert Huth, little arm on the shoulder, and he goes down and runs off, grabs the ball, and tucks away the penalty. Nice finish, but when you watch it back, it all starts from the initial cross into the box where Janssen literally drags Huth to the ground, but the ref's obviously watching the flight of the ball going all the way to the back post. So as soon as Hansen and Huth get back to their feet and the ball drops to Janssen, Huth's like got his arm on him, goes down, penalty, 1-0. But Dele Alli played really well. You know, still a little bit slow in certain areas, but the kid's got mad talent with his feet. And
I wish he had shortened the England squad.
Dude, hits an absolute screamer from like 12 yards out on a pullback that absolutely rattles. The crossbar at White Hart Lane is still buzzing right now. I mean, absolutely launched it. But he played really well. And then 3 minutes after the restart, you've got Musa, Jamie Vardy showing his pace, gets past the last man. Really surprising that he managed to pick that pass out. Comes straight across the six-yard box, Musa coming in. And I've watched it three times. I'm not sure how the ball hits the back of the net. And I've watched it so many times, I still can't decide if it should be classed as a Lloris own goal or Musa's thing. So I feel like, so he comes in, he's point-blank range, smashes it at Lloris. Lloris kind of looks like he's juggling it around between two hands, and then it kind of goes in.
Mm.
At least that's what I think I saw. I can't. It was a rough night. But yeah, that's what I think I saw. But yeah, 1-1. But Tottenham were completely dominant. After the game, Ranieri saying, so happy with the points, so happy. And again, Tottenham dropped another 2 points, but playing well. But they were a little pedestrian when they get into the final third in the second half. Janssen's touch was pretty shocking in the second half, and all those things culminate into, you know, not being able to get any flow, not being able to get any kind of consistent movement up the field. And you know, at the end of the day, Tottenham should have won it. I'm going to throw it out there. They had so much more possession, so many more chances, better chances. But yeah, 1-1. Not too dissimilar, really, to United-Burnley, that game, if that makes sense. Like, you're just one team that really dominated, but
the result didn't show.
Yeah, you know, just the way it is, isn't it? That's football. Yeah. That's why we love it, mate.
All right, next game, Watford versus Hull at Vicarage Road.
Not much to talk about in this game. Wasn't great. Yeah, it wasn't great, but and I think it comes. The goal was like quite late on, and it was a Dawson own goal. Just kind of hits him in the hip, top thigh area, and just flies in the top corner. But Hull didn't do a lot. Watford had some really good chances. I think they rattled the bar a couple of times. But yeah. It wasn't much to write home about, but look, Watford won't care. 1-0. Troy Deeney, your boy, he's like stuck on 99 goals for Watford, and he had an absolute gilt-edged chance at the back stick, but N'Golo kind of got in his way a little bit, and he put it wide. So he's ready to hit 100, so I'm sure you'll be happy about that next week when that happens. So.
Troy Deeney. All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. If you want to get in contact with us, how did your team do over the weekend? How do you think your team's going to finish in the Premier League? 434-284-9470.
Just wanted to say, like, back to the Watford-Hull game, like, you know, 3 points for Watford. They're going to be so happy with that, kind of steady the ship a little bit. But Hull
just keeps getting worse and worse.
Straight now, I'm telling you, because they looked pretty poor. They got Ramirez came back from injury, which is great for them. Is that his name? Yeah, I think that's his name. But he came back, and you know, he played up front, and he had a couple of half chances, nothing too good. But they've lost 6 of the last 7 games. They're in big trouble. And to me, I don't see how they're going to get out of it, because their top goal scorer this year is Snodgrass, and he's out injured. And for me, he does so much for that team. Like, takes all the corners, all the set pieces. He's got a wicked left foot.
Do you think they should be looking at a January window then?
They've got to recruit. They have to recruit in January. If they don't, and they don't recruit well, they will go down. Not a doubt in my mind.
What is the reason that there is a January window? Because a lot of managers don't like it or don't use it.
No, they don't like it. Oh, they all use it.
They do?
Yeah, even if it's loan deals.
Just to shove people out.
Loan deals just to strengthen bolster, because the worst thing you can have is you go to Christmas or you go to the New Year, let's say, just for argument's sake, and you have, let's say you add Luke Shaw and Ashley Young out for 2 months. Who are you going to stick at left back? So it just gives you an avenue to recruit somebody. It's basically just to bolster your squad, get you to the summer. A lot of the January deals are loan deals because the price of players is, the price is inflated in January. So if you wanted to go, if Jose was looking to like get another striker in, let's say you wanted to go for Luis Suarez, yeah? Just for argument's sake. Let's say Suarez would cost you £80 million. In the January transfer market, you're probably looking at 100, 105 million.
Really? Yeah. I did actually hear something this week about Suarez to United. I don't want him.
I don't like him. Nobody really likes him. I think he has calmed down a little bit now, but that's because he's just like scoring goals for fun and playing with probably the two best attacking players in the world.
I'd much rather have Gareth Bale, to be honest.
I mean, that's a possibility. But honestly, if... I can't believe I'm going to say this, but if somebody said... You could have spent $100 million to get Suarez. I think I'd have taken it.
Liverpool connection?
Yeah, I know. But we had Michael Owen, and he scored 95th minute winner against City, didn't he? 5-4 in the derby, so, or 4-3 in the derby. So,
is there still
he's
that,
a legend to me now?
Is there still that stigma? Because remember, was it Dennis Law that went from United to City?
Yeah.
Is there still that stigma?
Not so much anymore. Because I mean, Schmeichel was talking about Schmeichel went from United to City.
As did.
Tevez. Yeah. I mean, it's not... I mean, I think the media and the fans blow it way out of proportion.
Because that used to destroy people's careers.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even play after that.
Look, it used to... Like, the fans still do it now, right? Where it's just an absolute no-no. But they're professional footballers. If one club doesn't want you anymore, and the other club that's... You got to understand, yeah. These players, let's say they live in a £3 million home in Manchester, and Man United don't want them anymore, but City are willing to pay them the same amount of money, if not a little bit more, and they get to stay in Manchester and have to uproot their family. Of course, they're going to take that deal.
Yeah,
of course they are. Like everybody would, if you like, in any job, in any kind of thing, if you don't really have to relocate, move your family, and you can still make the same amount of money at the building next door to you, of course you're going to take that job.
All right.
But yeah, us fans don't like it one bit. But
all right. We're kind of deviating off subject, but next game is obviously at the Stadium of Light. It's Sunderland versus Arsenal. Mark?
Resident Gooner.
I would say it was a good performance, scoring 4 goals. They only scored 1, but in looking at the score summary, you know, we had a 1-0 lead for about an hour. And then our old nemesis, Jermaine Defoe of the Tottenham variety, got a goal to level it up. And then luckily we had Olivier Giroud come back this week, and he looked impressive, scoring 2 goals. And Sanchez got 2 goals as well. So job done.
It's nice to see Giroud back because I think he actually played really, really well in the Euros. I've been a bit unlucky this year with that niggling injury and stuff, but yeah, this is actually a game I didn't get to see. But yeah. Oh, Jermaine Defoe was a penalty, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, 1-1. God. Sunderland. I bet they were absolutely loving it, thinking, come on, just 25 more minutes, and then suddenly...
Well, these are the games...
Three more.
These are the games in the past, you know, 5 years that we've had trouble with. You know, your Sunderland, your Stokes, road trips, you know, disappointing results, losing games. So the fact that we, you know, won the game and won it pretty handedly, I'll move on to the next week and so keep up at the top of the table.
So do you think that if you can keep maybe grafting out the results against, like Ryan has said before, it's those teams you can graft out, you know, it's a wet Wednesday, you know, raining in the middle of December, and you can graft out a tough game against a lower team opposition that's basically just going to maybe park the bus or sit there the whole hour and just try to make it difficult for you. If you can get those results out, that maybe...
We have to. I mean...
You could be sitting in first place coming.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't think about this as well. You're traveling from London to one of the northest parts of England, going to Sunderland.
It's a long way.
It is long. It's like, you know, people don't take into account.
Especially over here where the country is so vast and big and England looks so teeny.
Yeah.
But it's still a long drive.
It's still, yeah, I mean, but look, Arsenal, was it convincing? I mean, the scoreline suggests, it sounds like from what you're saying, like the scoreline might be like a little flattering, but then that's what you do. You show your quality in the last 30 minutes. You show your quality, the extra
fitness.
Can you
do a Fergie or, you know, whatever?
That's it. So, but Sunderland, just poor. So poor. We might as well just record what I'm saying right now about Sunderland.
And we'll just hit a button.
You just hit a button every week and just play it, because it's the same every week. And I know you were just talking about these teams that you came up against and used to kind of waver a little bit on back in the past, but that was a Sunderland.
They're teams we used to smash back in the good old days.
But Sunderland used to be a team where they've never been great. They've never had real world beaters, but they always worked well as a team. They've always kept themselves in the division. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's not easy. I was listening to one of the guys from Sunderland actually talking on the radio the other day, and the team is kind of feeling in distraught right now because they see themselves as sleeping giants. They could be the team that, you know, if they'd only get some luck and get some good players, they could actually maybe work their way up the table. I don't see that. I mean, sleeping giants since when exactly?
Yeah, I think they've notoriously done this where they've bought players from big teams. Don't get me wrong, they've bought great experienced Premier League players that are past their peak.
Well, not only that, but you need to have the players behind them. Or in front. I mean, if you're looking up for maybe buying a striker.
But that's what I mean. I would look at their academy setup and question that, because I think I've only seen like maybe two players that have come from like the Sunderland academy and made the first team that I've been kind of impressed with. And other than that,
go poach from Southampton. They've got a great academy.
Well, they should be. They should be doing something.
Yeah.
And I don't know what. If they're not, then they...
If they don't do anything in January, it's because they want to just wipe themselves out.
It might be a case that the best thing for Sunderland in the long run
is to
get relegated this year.
Right.
Really figure out who your manager is, where you see the team going. Bring in a bunch of young kids. Bring in some really hungry young talent that wants to play, wants to fight for the manager, and wants to win football matches. Because at the moment, you have a lot of... What I'm saying is, look, when you go and buy a Wes Brown, a John O'Shea, a Jermaine Defoe... I'm not putting Jermaine Defoe really in that bracket because I think he's a top professional. But you pay ridiculous wages for these players based on what they've done in the past and where they've come from, right?
Not what they're doing right now.
These guys know that they're riding out the rest of their careers. Their careers are going to end at Sunderland. That's not, like... You know, sugarcoat it. Their careers are going to end at Sunderland. Everybody knows that in any job, in any walk of life, when you get to 60 years old and you know you're going to retire at 64, 65, those are your milking years. Do you know what I mean? You just come in, do what you have to do, and just to see out those last few years, and thanks very much. Thanks for all the money and everything, and goodbye. It's the same thing at Sunderland. I see it all the time.
Are they kind of like Florida? It's like the retirement home where everyone's...
That's it.
Everyone's going to Sunderland.
It could be. Could be.
All right, guys. Don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. Or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. There's an email button at the top of the page. And also, if you want to email us directly, it's blokesonthebench, all one word, no capitals, @hotmail.com. All right, so... Another contender here, Manchester City versus West Bromwich. I mean, City, their scoreline.
Yeah, and look, you only have to look at when the goals were scored. That's what they do. First 30 minutes, straight out of the bat, 2-0. West Brom aren't coming back from 2-0 down. Aguero with both of those. The one where he just takes that touch between like five players on the edge of the box and just smashes it in the top corner. Just. Classic Aguero, so quick in the head, quick on his feet, and generates so much power with very little backlift. Just great goal, great goal. And then their summer signing, Gundogan scored, like, what, 79th minute in the last kick of the game, pretty much. Yeah, 4-0. They're back on track. They hadn't won in, what was it, six games?
Yeah, six games.
Six games. So they've, you know, stopped that run of
bad results. Let's stop right there for a second. Right. So we're talking about this game run, okay? Midweek, we had the old FA. Was it the FA Cup or was it the
EFL, the old
Mickey Mouse Cup.
Yeah.
Well, so United, Manchester United versus Manchester City. It was a second derby, if you will. And Manchester United put out a first team, and quite blatantly, City didn't. They put out a lot of their youngsters.
Yeah.
Does that show to you that they really don't care? I mean, surely it should be all about pride and not... I mean, I get it. Champions League comes before pretty much any of the English Cups, but there's an argument to be made that Champions League is destroying things like the FA Cup. I remember when we were growing up, the FA Cup was a day, TV was on all day.
Yeah.
You watch the buses arrive, everyone getting off. They would have the old teams playing, you know, like it was kind of like our version of the Super Bowl. And the Champions League now, with the money that from just getting into the competition gives you, means that that teams, especially managers, are single tracked. It's the Premier League, it's the Champions, the Euro League, and then everything else is kind of blinkered out.
I've always said this from day one. When they changed. So the old European Cup, yeah, used to be the winners of the European domestic leagues would play each other throughout the season, and the winner, who two teams in the final, you win the European Cup, the Champions League, right? Then they changed it to the top three, four teams of each league would then compete for the Champions League, the European Cup. So it went from being like, what was it, eight teams to 32, right? So I've always said, get rid of the fourth place in every league and pick one of your domestic trophies. So in La Liga, in Spain, the Copa del Rey.
And the winner of that league goes in?
Well, the winner of the Copa del Rey, which is the FA Cup equivalent, the winner of the FA Cup, the winner of the German league's equivalent, they should get a spot in the Champions League. And so then you make those domestic cups far more important. So when you get to a quarter final of the FA Cup, but you've got Champions League game the following Wednesday, and you need a win in the Champions League, you're not putting out your strongest thing in the FA Cup quarter final. Quarter final of a major tournament. Like, to me, it should be, okay, chances are we can still go nick a result Wednesday and be in it this year, but let's guarantee we're in it next year by winning the FA Cup.
Yeah, and the other thing is, they play all these, you know, the B team, if you will. Come the tournament final at Wembley Stadium, it's the A team,
first
right?
First team's out, yeah.
Right.
I think the only manager that really holds true to that is actually Arsene Wenger. I give mad props to that.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. The time is now 6:40. All right, guys, welcome right back. All right, so the next game, Chelsea versus Southampton at St. Mary's.
That was this morning, yeah. It was pretty good. Look, it was a good performance. They got off to a flying start. Hazard looks like he's enjoying his football, banging them in. 6 minutes, I think it was. And they looked pretty good. And then Costa in the second half, was it?
55th minute.
Yeah, got made it 2-0.
He's looking good this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wrote kind of Chelsea off at the start of the year because their performances, they were winning games, but kind of unconvincingly. But look, they've weathered that storm and they're putting in some good performances. I think they're still going to be a little bit short come the end of the year. I think the squad's not as deep as, a Man City, a Liverpool, even an Arsenal. So I do think they're going to be short this year, but massive improvement on what they did last year. I think the future could be pretty bright for Chelsea. I still think they're missing a couple of key players, but we'll see. I don't think Conte is going to do anything in the January transfer market. I think he'll wait
until
the
summer.
They've
talked about a center back.
Yeah. They've been throwing around.
Louise was kind of a panic buy.
Yeah, well, they've been throwing around names like Keane from Burnley, who's kind of highly sought after. He's had a couple of dodgy games. Not yesterday against United. For some reason, he turned up that game. But, yeah, previous couple, he had a couple of dodgy moments. But he's a young defender, up and coming. They might get him at a decent price in January. That's if he wants to go there and potentially sit on the bench for 18 months, you know? So, I don't know. Chelsea look good. They are going to be short this year. I can see him finishing fourth. But, yeah, I mean, they're up there. Mm-hmm. Keep grinding out.
It seems like Conte's finally employed a newer system with three at the back.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're forced, you're forced to do that. They have some, like, injuries, I know. I'm not sure Terry's back yet, is he?
I don't believe so.
So they've got Luis, Azpilicueta. So they're going to be all right, Chelsea, but they are going to be a little bit short this year.
Where do you see them finishing, like maybe fourth or fifth?
Yeah, it's fourth.
Fourth.
I think they'll get Champions League football.
So, I don't.
You don't? Okay, well, I'm moving on to the last game, which was West Ham versus Everton at Goodison Park. Obviously, Everton.
Well, yeah, Everton running out 2-0 winners. First half wasn't great. West Ham are looking pretty poor. I don't know what's going on.
I need to talk about West Ham. I've got something to talk about.
Yeah, but so you've got Lukaku scoring in the 50th, and then Lukaku setting up Ross Barkley with a tidy little finish. Ross at the back stick on the 76th minute, and they just kind of held out and ran that out. It could have been 3 or 4, to be honest. But, yeah, West Ham were pretty poor. Good for Koeman. I'm glad, you know, needed that stable, you know.
You hear Koeman's remarks in the middle of the week about if Rooney wanted to come back?
Yeah, never going to happen.
Really?
Yeah, never going to happen. He'll milk his 300,000 a week until he's 32, 33.
Mourinho has said if Rooney wants regular first team every week football, he may have to go to another club.
But my philosophy on that is you should be saying that to every single player in your squad.
True. They all have to fight, not just the ones that are maybe...
Yeah. And look, when it comes to Wayne, yeah, Wayne's not going to go back to Everton. Wayne Rooney, the way, you know, he's got three young kids now, his wife. I honestly believe that if he was to leave Manchester United, it would be abroad. Because it's like kind of perfect timing for him and his family and that.
And would it be LA Galaxy type, you know?
I could see him. To be fair, I kind of always thought that Gerrard would go out there. I kind of always felt like Frank would go out there. Bex was always going to go out there. My only thing with that is I don't think that Wayne is that type of person. I'm not sure that he would fit in. I think he would find it really hard to fit into like kind of US culture and that. Because he doesn't, like, you got Gerrard, Lamps, Robbie Keane came out here, Ashley Cole's out here, and obviously Beck set the trend. But they enjoy that aspect of the business, right? The endorsements, the kind of celebrity of it. And to me, I just, Wayne's not really that way. So I could see him maybe going to somewhere in Spain. Maybe, I don't see him actually going to Italy. He's definitely not going to Germany. Honestly, Spain is the only place I see him really going. Honestly, I'd be shocked if he came to MLS.
Really?
Yeah.
If he does come to the MLS, I would quite like him to maybe go to some other teams.
Yeah.
It just seems to be either New York or LA, and that's it.
Yeah.
Orlando.
Which helps MLS. It does help it, but it doesn't. I would like to see players, you know, spread out a little bit more. Yeah. Maybe like Chicago Fire, a few more people.
Well, you wait till
Lundberg went to.
You wait until Bex gets this franchise Miami set up.
Now, what is the latest about that? What have you heard?
I haven't heard anything for a long time. I'm sure it's in the works. I'm sure they're doing something. If it's not 2017, it's probably going to be 2018. Because I think if he waits any longer, that the effect of that is going to have worn off a little bit.
Now, what is it called? Do we know? Is it Miami?
No idea.
I think it's Miami FC.
Miami FC.
Well, there you go.
All right.
And I did want to point out about West Ham. They had a mid-game.
That's going to be an attractable place to live.
Yeah.
They had a game during the week. for the cup again against Chelsea.
Yeah, beat them, didn't they?
Well, they didn't just beat them.
Oh, no, it beat the fans up too.
Yeah. Okay, so you got this new stadium, guys. London Stadium. It was the Olympic Stadium. It was built for the Olympics. It was not built for football. Unlike the Etihad Stadium, that they had built the racetrack around it to be pulled out and be perfect for a football pitch. They knew the plan for the football pitch was coming. It was pretty much a done deal. Manchester City was going to get that stadium. The Olympic Stadium didn't have any of that, all right? Now, there was the whole gripe about West Ham pretty much being given it for free. They had to pay anything. But the Olympic committee, the guys that ran it, didn't use the law enforcement. They didn't use police. They used private security firms.
Yeah.
And obviously stewards. Now, if you're a steward, you're probably early 20s. You're probably at college. You're just doing it for a bit of cash. It's not that much. I mean, you're probably making maybe under $10. So when a fight kicks off and there's all these 30 and 40-year-old bald-headed guys covered in tattoos swinging tables and chairs around, you're not going to get involved.
Nice. See you later.
Most big clubs, in fact, I say most, all Premier League clubs have the stadiums kind of built out for police, for the radio units, for everything to be put in. This stadium doesn't even have that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was there any surprise when everything kicked off that it would be complete chaos?
Well, it just, to me, it's like really disappointing because, look, back in the day, West Ham were...
They had a really
wasn't
tough,
a place that you went to. It just wasn't a place you went to watch a match. Just stay at home, watch it on the box, and be happy with it. And I thought this was behind them a little bit because you've got this brand new stadium. Yeah, okay, your team's not playing great, but you know you're going to turn it around. They've got a good enough squad that they'll turn it around.
They're not getting relegated.
It's almost like they have no appreciation for like what they've given, what they've kind of inherited here. To me, that's the sad part, because you have, it's such a nice stadium, so brand new, the facilities are amazing, so a lot of people are taking their young sons, daughters to the games and stuff, and what you're going to see now is you're going to see half the stadium empty, because people aren't going to want to do it.
Now, how do you get around that? How do you stop? I mean, I know they were talking about, 200 people, they were in the works to get these 200 people using, you know, like CCTV cameras to get them out.
Yeah,
banned.
That's all you can do.
But they had a steward on the radio, was listening to him. He actually stewards the games. He's a security for him. And he was saying that, look, it's not the Premier League games. When they sell the season tickets, the cup games are kind of an add-on.
Yeah.
You kind of have to buy them. If not, they get pushed out again, right?
Yeah.
So all these FA Cup games or whatever are floating around.
Yeah.
The people that are doing the trouble are looking at the fixture list and going, okay, there's Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
They don't have any commitment. They get banned. So what?
Yeah.
They're not paying the $300 or $400 for a season ticket.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the other thing, like you said, it's a beautiful stadium. Wasn't built for football, but they can work around that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have any identity for the club yet. That's something that you build and grow.
Yeah.
And the worst thing right now is to have trouble coming in. That I've heard people on the radio talk about, you know, they brought their kids to the game and they're not bringing their kids anymore.
Yeah. Why would you?
So
I wouldn't take
that
mine
stadium
either.
Is now being tainted that it's trouble.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, I think they need to, I mean, do they stop playing games there? Do they play the games indoors? I mean, how do they do this?
It's, I don't know, mate. I mean, it's good questions. They've got to be figuring it out because it's, I'm sick and already, because we mentioned it. I mentioned it last week. I mentioned it the week before and the week before that, because there's been trouble at all of those games. Against Middlesbrough, there was trouble.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of talking about it. Like,
it's just
someone's got to do something about it, because it will get to the stage where no away fans are going to go and watch their team. And then what are the West Ham fans going to do if they're the only ones in the stadium? Start fighting against each other. Like, do you know what I mean? It's
actually they have.
Yeah, I mean,
that was part of it.
Right. Well, yeah, because you have a lot of people that are there to watch the football, to watch their team. They've spent a lot of money to go there for a day out. They don't want to hear somebody effing and blinding behind them and saying every word in the cursed dictionary. You know what I mean? Like,
all right.
So, yeah, I don't know. We're, Just have to wait and see on that one.
Hopefully they'll make a decision and do something.
Yeah.
All right, so we need to get to the UVA results.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so Jeremy is not here this week. We have our assistant, Sarah, going to read the results out for us.
Hi. Okay, so for the UVA men's results, they played Friday the 28th at 7 p.m. UVA beat Duke at home 1-0 in the first round of the ACC tournament.
Get in there, Cavs.
Their next game is Wednesday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. against NC State, and that'll also be here in Charlottesville. For the women's team, they played Thursday the 27th versus Louisville in Louisville and won 2-1.
Boom.
They played an ACC championships game today, October 30th, versus North Carolina in Chapel Hill and lost 3-0. The next two ACC games are the semifinal on November 4th at 5:30 p.m. in Charleston, South Carolina, and the final on November 6th at 12 p.m., also in Charleston.
Road trip. Awesome. Road trip. Road trip. Get out.
Right,
and support.
So let's Charleston's a fun
let's
place.
Let's get the table done. Okay, so Man City are sitting on the top with 23 points. Looking good. Again, this is so tight. Arsenal on 23 and second. Liverpool, 23. Chelsea, 22. I mean, it's not that much difference between them.
Yeah.
In fifth spot, we have Tottenham on 20. Everton on 18. Watford on 15. Manchester United sitting in 8th spot and 15, Southampton 13, and Bournemouth in 10th spot on 12.
Yeah.
So really there's not that much difference from the bottom to the top there in terms of points.
Yeah. Look, all the teams, look, take United out of the equation, but the five that we kind of thought would be up there are up there, and they're all within, like, what, 3 points?
Right.
Spurs, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City. And it's just going exactly how we thought it was. It's so tight up there. I mean, fair play. And then, you've got Everton that are only five off as well. I mean, Everton aren't going to do anything. But I'm just saying, for the look of the table right now, this is going to be a really good year.
And like you said, it will be those bottom teams that are going to, they can play a major part now.
What did I say? Burnley's going to have a decider in Everton. And so far, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Beat Everton last
week. Do you think it might be a last game of the season kind of thing again?
I hope so.
Except with United winning this time, I guess.
Yeah.
Have a little dig in there. Why don't you? All right, so fixtures. Tomorrow we have Stoke versus Swansea, so there is one game left. Then we go to Saturday. Bournemouth versus Sunderland.
Bournemouth win 2-0.
I mean, I would love to see Sunderland try to graft something out of that.
Well, we're 10 games in now, right? They don't win for the first 10 games. So
maybe the 11th game. Is it the next game?
Maybe that's it.
All right, Burnley versus Crystal Palace.
I'm going to go Burnley.
Yeah.
2-1.
Man City versus Middlesbrough.
4-0.
West Ham versus Stoke.
Stoke, 1-0.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go against you. I'm going to say 1-0 to West Ham. Chelsea versus Everton. I'm going to say...
That's going to be a good game.
2-2.
Yeah, 2-2. Thinking exactly the same. Next Sunday, Arsenal versus Spurs.
Oh, ooh. What a game.
Where are we going to watch that game,
I know.
Boys?
I know. I'm going... I think it's going to be 1-1. They're usually actually pretty tight games.
Hull versus Southampton.
Southampton.
One Liverpool nothing. Versus Watford.
Liverpool.
Go on, Watford.
Liverpool 2-1, but Troy Deeney
for his 100th goal.
Yeah.
Swansea versus Man United.
Oh, Swans to win 2-0.
There you go, Swansea fan.
Yeah.
Leicester City versus West Ham.
West Brom, you mean?
Oh, yeah, West Brom, sorry.
1-1.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you on that. I'll agree with you on that.
And remember, we do have Champions League this week.
So we'll hit
Man City has a chance to redeem themselves after their awful performance against Barcelona.
And who are they playing?
Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, well, that's not going to happen then.
Yes.
Another 4-0.
To let everyone know, the games are actually at 3:45 instead of 2:45.
Clocks went back in England, yep. Folks.
Yeah, our clocks go back next Sunday, I believe. So there you go. Reminder.
All right. Nice one.
Public service announcement.
Well, remind us next week, mate.
All right, guys. Obviously, thanks a lot for everyone in the studio today.
Ryan.
Mark.
And obviously, Sarah, our assistant. And we will see you next time.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokes on the bench.